the average person is spending 20 seconds or less on a website before they decide to click off or to stay. So that really doesn't give them more time than to do a quick scroll through the homepage. So really, if you can't keep them past the homepage, that's it, you've lost them. You need to communicate who you are, what you offer, and where you're located. Because if someone cannot find that information before they have to scroll, you have probably lost their attention and they're not gonna stick around. That is the number one thing that you need to have before anyone has to even scroll.
Hey, be sure you stick around because we're only getting warmed up.
I would not recommend a one-page website to my worst enemy. It's the absolute number one worst thing you could ever do for your website is to have one page.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another Think Wedding Business podcast. Now, today's a great topic. So we all know that you should have great socials, really cool logos and branding, and be out there doing your stuff and networking and meeting people. But it all goes sort of by the wayside if you haven't got a brilliant shop window and a brilliant website. So today, I'm really pleased to announce we've got a great girl on who's going to tell us all about branding, what your website should do, how it should be, how it should look, how everything should work together.
Website.
So we have got an absolute expert in this field, and she's coming all the way from Florida in America, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to introduce our guest today is Sarah Elizabeth from Elizabeth Designs. How are we doing?
Doing good.
We pronounced that right.
It's Elizabeth. Yes. Yep. That's right. My sister made it complicated for me because she wanted us to have the same initials. So that's where the A came from.
Thanks for coming on.
Yes. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
And I just want to let the viewers and the listeners know why we've got you on, because our last podcast guest, which was Rebecca Carpenter. If you've not listened to that one, you've got to go and listen to it, guys. It is absolutely killer on the social media side of things. She has her website designed by you, and we were really, really impressed with it and what it did. So that's why you're here, to shed some light on the mystery of wedding websites.
Yeah. Do you know what has really stood out? Because obviously, you know, I scoop out the competition, and photo video websites are very similar in terms of what we need to show and what, you know, the layout of the sites need to be. And Rebecca's was like just unique in terms of like everything that I've seen before. Everyone has a similar sort of templates. And then saw Rebecca's the other day, and I've not looked at it before. I've known her for a few years, but I was like, oh my God, this is standout. Like, you can tell it's been really highly thought out and professionally done. I was immediately like, wow, Rebecca's done a really good job with this. Little did I know that she had some secret sauce in the form of you stateside. So I guess the first question we want to ask, we're just going to get straight into it. What are the kind of most important things that a wedding, because you cater for all wedding suppliers, don't you? Mm-hmm. So if you can, across the board, what's like the main things that people should be prioritizing with their site? Like, if, you know, if there's a few key points.
Yeah. So I think the main thing is, number one, to make sure you're on the right platform. There are so many different hosting platforms out there, and a lot of them are created for e-commerce, or they're created for just small business owners in general, but that doesn't necessarily apply to wedding industry. And so I would say what I see most often are people who get locked into an annual membership on the wrong platform, and they feel kind of stuck. And so they end up using a very templatey website design that looks like what everybody else is doing. And they just assume, well, if this is what everybody else is doing, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. And then they end up getting locked into a platform and they feel like they can't get out. And so I call it website jail, because they're just like stuck and they don't know what to do. And they don't realize there are platforms out there created for wedding industry professionals that are going to give them so many more opportunities and just so much more flexibility to within the actual like design capabilities as well.
That's interesting because there's a lot of templated websites, isn't there, Adam? I think, you know, we know of so many
people listening to this going, oh my God, that's me.
Yeah, and it's just, that's just a simple thing to do though, isn't it? They'll find a template, they'll just drag and drop their images and their bits of, you know, blurb and bio. And you're right, Sarah, everybody's site ends up looking quite similar. So you're saying have a site that you're not locked in and that you can change and sort of, yeah, change at any time you want rather than be locked into a certain templated style.
There are specific platforms then that are catered for more towards the wedding.
So I would say I'm pretty loyal to Showit. Showit was created specifically for photographers, but it can be used industry wide. The reason why I love Showit, aside from it being created for photographers, is just the intentionality behind the way they created the platform to be used by the consumer. It is very user-friendly. So it's going to be similar to like a Squarespace or a Wix hosting where it's drag and drop. So it's, you know, easy, it's intuitive. But when it comes to the portfolio options, the SEO options, the customization options, it is unmatched. I have yet to see a comparable hosting platform. So Showit is definitely my favorite. And then I would say if you absolutely do not want to go with Showit, I would just go for WordPress point blank because, you know, again, you have to think about not just aesthetics, but also SEO. So if you can't optimize your site properly, how are you supposed to get found? So it just kind of negates the whole point of even having the website.
Got it.
Showit. I didn't know about, I've heard of that, but I don't know much about it. So I'll have to have a look. And I suppose if it's designed for photographers, then it's going to be great for any type of wedding supplier in the sense of like, you know, your website needs to be visual. So having those kind of photographic things in mind will help any website.
Yeah, it's very image driven. And, you know, even for videographers, a lot of times people say, well, can I put my videos on it? How does that work? It allows you to easily add in your videos through MP4s or through like a YouTube or Vimeo link without fully embedding the file in your site, which keeps your site running quickly, which is going to help your SEO. Because a lot of times videographers run into this huge pitfall with their website where they're like, but wait, I can't upload my videos or it doesn't load and everything is slow and I'm losing the quality. But Showit thought ahead with that. And so you don't run into that issue at all on Showit. So it's a great platform all the way around.
Do they have, people can check this out, but just whilst we're on, do they have pricing options to, like you said, about getting tied into a subscription? Is it still an annual thing or do they do options with that?
Yeah, they have great options. So it's really affordable. I want to say their average plan price is maybe $20 US a month. I'm not sure what that would equate to the UK, but pretty fair. From my experience, and they do offer monthly and annual. So, and they also have a free trial. So I always say, go for the trial, see how you like it after a couple weeks. And then you're going to know after you use it for a couple weeks if you want to stay there. And if you do, great, you know, do a subscription, and they have monthly and annual options. So I think that's always the best route to take, is kind of to take advantage of those trials just to make sure, because a lot of times I think people, again, they just get roped into subscriptions on the wrong place and they get stuck. So those free trials are great, and they have tons of free templates that you can use to play around with without having to like buy anything.
So are there any drawbacks then to, you've obviously said that people get stuck in the wrong sort of subscriptions for the wrong platforms. Like what those other platforms, what do they not have that something like Showit does?
So I would say the biggest pitfalls of the other platforms that I've seen are the lack of SEO capability. So being able to tag your images in platform, not having to tag them before you upload them. Also being able to set your text properties, being able to control the order of the elements. These are all very like SEO specific things, but they play a huge role. And then two, on the design side, from the front end, almost always you're locked into some sort of like grid or widget system, and you can't do what you want to do. Like, it's just like, oh no, you have to stay in this box. You can't like drag something here or put something there. And with Show It, it's a blank canvas and you can put anything you want wherever you want. So again, it's just like, in my perspective, like, there is no other platform like Show It that I have seen that can even remotely come close to that. WordPress does have some theme builders that are similar, but again, they don't perform the same way on the back end when it comes to the SEO.
Cool. I think that's important for the people that rely on SEO for their business. I mean, we had David Stubbs on the podcast talking about SEO, and he's one of them guys who gets his work through SEO. Because a lot of people don't. They do it through social media, then it filters through to the website, and that's how they do it. But for him, it's all about the SEO, and he's a master at it. That's really important for them. So I just wanted to ask you then, because human beings, we've got very short attention spans, haven't we? We're a bit like fish. And they say you've only got so many... You say you've got only so many seconds to grab the attention of people. Right. So I suppose there's a question there, isn't there? What does your website need to do immediately when people find you? Mm-hmm. What's the really important things they need to do straight away to catch the attention and make sure people stay on there and you get that high retention from them?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is, and you'll see this across most like websites, especially if you go on Pinterest, is you want to garner their attention right out of the gate. We know that the average person is spending 20 seconds or less on a website before they decide to click off or to stay. So that really doesn't give them more time than to do a quick scroll through the homepage. So really, if you can't keep them past the homepage, that's it, you've lost them. So you want to have something to grab their attention. So a large hero image or a large video at the top, right out of the gate. And then, or some sort of, you know, visual, something engaging, but then immediately you need to communicate who you are, what you offer, and where you're located. Because if someone cannot find that information before they have to scroll, you have probably lost their attention and they're not going to stick around. So those are the three, I call them the three W's, your who, what, where. That is the number one thing that you need to have before anyone has to even scroll.
Boom. I like that. Who, what, where?
I'm just going to like a carry-on question from that. Obviously, some websites are just one page scroll all the way through versus a site with multiple, like a menu and a nav bar, different pages. Is there a pros and cons to those? What would you go for?
Yeah, I would not recommend a one-page website to my worst enemy. It's the absolute number one worst thing you could ever do for your website is to have one page. Google basically looks at your website as a joke because they're like, wait, where's the information? Where's the content? Yeah. they see one page and they're just like, okay, we're putting that to the bottom. So absolutely do not have a one-page website. That's like big no-no.
That's very good. Decisive.
I was just thinking, to your point, that the three W's, if you've got a one-page website, then it is all there and it makes it easier for people rather than having a separate about page. But sure. but don't do that.
No, don't. It's a big no-no. Like Google basically wants you to create a resource library for your ideal clients. That's how they're looking at your website. So if you don't have multiple pages with different topics and information and context, then there is nothing for them to judge your website off of, and therefore they're just not going to rank it at all. So the bare minimum pages any website should have is 5. That's like just the standard, and if you're below 5, you need to add to it for sure.
What are those 5?
Home, about, services or experience, and that's like a whole thing. I'm a big experience over services girl. But home, about, experience, portfolio, and then that's another thing I recommend is using your blog as your portfolio and then a contact page. So those are like the core five.
I was just going to say, I built my fiance's website for it and it's a one scrolling page. Because
oh, no.
I was just like, oh, this, like mine's multi-page, like all done nice. And then I made hers and I was like, oh, one page, that'll be fine. It's all shit, like just to keep it basic.
I just pause you there, Adam. Did you say you designed Beyonce's website?
No, my fiance's website.
Oh, fiance.
Yes, I designed Beyonce's one page.
I don't need to be here then. You take over.
Yeah, no offense, Sarah, but if I was designing websites for the likes of Beyonce, I wouldn't be here, let alone having you on. I'd be in Florida. What about mobile versus desktop? Like, where should you put your focus? Or, I mean, obviously both, but it's sometimes tricky to get it to match for both as well as you want it to.
It is. And that's another huge feature I should have actually mentioned about Show It, is it allows you to edit those completely separately. So it gives you full control over how you scale things down. And over 80% of all website traffic is coming from a mobile device. So I would say you still want to treat them as an equal 50-50 of importance, but technically mobile is going to get more views almost no matter what. Yeah. So there's a huge, huge importance there. And especially for wedding industry professionals, because you're thinking about, okay, if I'm showcasing my portfolio on a phone, how am I going to get that to translate? Because obviously on desktop, you can blow an image up, you can make it big, you can see it. But on a phone, you have to figure out a way to create an experience within your portfolio that's still going to be just as engaging as if they were on a computer. So that's another thing that Show It does really well, is they have some fantastic gallery options that are mobile friendly.
That's good. That's good, because I think the one I'm with WordPress, and I think sometimes I make a change and it looks, I'm designing it on my computer so it looks great, and then I go to my test it on my phone, I'm like, ah, oh, it's completely wrong. So it's a bit of a pitfall, but that's good.
Yeah.
Another I feel like we're just a free advertisement for this Show It at this point.
I know. I always wish, man, I wish there were other platforms so I could give people more than just one, but that really is the best one that I've heard of to date. And the thing is, a lot of these other platforms, like even with Squarespace, they have very limited editing for mobile. Like, you can hardly change anything on mobile independently of desktop. A lot of times it's auto designed based off the desktop version, which is like a nightmare for people in the wedding industry that like want things to scale properly, especially when we're thinking about images. So
yeah, I'm just looking at my site now, and I'm seeing if I tick all the boxes you mentioned. I don't think within the first little scroll, I don't think it does get across where I'm based and all that's what you said, the three W's. I'm gonna have to have a look. And you must find this a lot. It sounds so simple when you say it. Of course that's vital information. But I think people get sucked into the, I'm gonna make it look really nice and pretty, and forget the fundamentals. I think that's probably quite easy to do, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, as creatives, we get so caught up in the visuals that we forget, oh, wait, what's the strategy here? And so I always say, you know, get a second, third, fourth, fifth opinion from friends, family, colleagues, have them look through your website and say like, okay, what's missing? What did you notice? What did you not find that you were looking for? And just kind of get their perspective on it. Because also too, when you spend so much time looking at your own website, you become blind to a lot of issues. Yeah. So it's easy to overlook those little things.
I think the usability as well, like having someone try and navigate through all the links and make sure that it all kind of works.
Definitely. And navigations are a really huge struggle for people. They'll go for the really sleek, tiny little hamburger icon in the top corner. And they're like, oh, this looks so modern. And then no one knows where to click. And they're like,
what? The two little lines.
Yes, okay. The three lines.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's okay on mobile. People are accustomed to that on mobile, but not on desktop. So I guess kind of a side point would be, make sure you have a scrolling navigation bar across the top of your website at all times, so that no matter where someone is on your website, they can easily click through to another page.
Oh, I'm really checking my website now, Adam. It seems so, it's so bad. It's so bad. I've just got the little hamburger thing that you're talking about here, you see. And mine weirdly does this. It's like it's set up only for mobile.
Maybe you need a consultation.
Yeah, call me up.
Oh, need to get you on board, sir.
This kind of leads into my next question, because I noticed that you offer like free site evaluation for people. Yeah. So what's like the most common mistake, pitfall that you see when you evaluate someone's site? Like what's the most common things that people do that are wrong?
Say, aside from not having their who, what, where, I would say the next thing is they're uploading full resolution images or embedding like giant video files into their website without resizing them. Especially, this is mainly like for, I mean, obviously videographers too, but anybody uploading images to their website, they'll upload full res because they're like, obviously I'm a photographer, I want it to look clean and crisp and perfect. But they forget that if they do that, they're making their website load significantly slower. So then people are opening their website on their phone or their computer, the images are not loading or they're loading really slowly. And then also their SEO is terrible. And they're like, I don't understand, what am I doing wrong? So the first thing I'll always ask is, are you resizing your images before you upload them? And they'll say, no. I'm like, there you go, that's your problem. So not only is that causing you a high bounce rate, but it's also causing you really bad SEO score. So that's the biggest thing is, please, please, please resize your images always. You can still resize them without losing the quality. There's lots of different platforms out there that will do that. And my favorite is JPEG Mini.
Okay, so if you're putting a video on there, instead of it, don't put it on there as a 4K video. Do it as, what, 1080 or 720 or?
I would say, you know, if you want to have 4K, upload it to Vimeo or YouTube and embed it as a YouTuber Vimeo. Don't just like upload the file in its native form, because that is going to just screw your whole website up. So definitely use YouTube or Vimeo. And then if you want to have GIFs, that's one thing that I always tell videographers. GIFs are a great way to bring in B-roll or bring in your favorite clips from videos and get movement into the site without having to embed a video. So you can have a combination of both and it turns out really beautiful.
That's a great shout. Yeah, I might have to bang that one.
Yeah.
Can you just explain that a bit more? GIFs on your website.
Yeah. So
break that down a little bit.
So photographers can do this too. But basically if you turn a 5-second clip of either, this is where my lack of photography knowledge will come in. A photographer would know what this call is called, but basically it's where you like do a burst, like on an iPhone, it's called a burst of images. So you take like, you know, 100 images in 10 seconds. So you would either pull like 10 to 30 of those images, turn them into a GIF, or for a videographer, you're just literally going to pull 5 to 10 seconds and then convert that into a GIF. And you can use that to create movement within an image frame on your website. And it's my favorite thing in the world to do for videographers, because they're always like, well, I don't want to just take a bunch of screenshots of my videos. Like, what do? I'm like, make GIFs and lots of them. And it gives you the best of both worlds.
I might have to steal that one. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I think it's still called a burst in proper photography. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Good.
I think you're safe. I think you're safe. Don't worry.
I'm wondering how that would work for filmmakers though. Because I get it, it's a burst of images and you're putting them together and creating this movement within the images. How could that work with an actual film though?
Well, you see, Howard, film is 24 images per second put together.
I know.
To make it move.
I know, but it would it not feel a bit jittery or look a bit jittery?
No. No, it's smoother. It'd be even smoother with video because it's full motion.
Hey, what do I know?
You can do this with... It's on your iPhone, you take a live photo, you can save it as a GIF now, so that you'll just get that. But like for me, I could take a 3-second clip of the confetti and turn it into a GIF, and it shrinks the file size as well, right? Rather than it being a video file.
Yeah, as long, I just say keep it under 10 seconds. You know, if you're getting to like 15 megabytes, you need to scale it back a little bit. I don't ever, technically image files should be on the smaller side. And with videos and GIFs, obviously that's a whole nother can of worms, but technically under 8 megabytes for an MP4, which videographers are like, what?
So, how is that possible? How?
Yeah, there is a website for this. It's called AMB Video, and it's, I don't know how they do it, but they are able to convert video files into 8 megabytes or less, and they come out clean and crisp. So just make sure it's a short clip. You can totally do that. But your best bet if you're a videographer is just to go the Vimeo or YouTube route. That's kind of like
the default.
I love the GIF tip though, because any supplier can use that. Like, you know, a florist or you, Howard, like it's a great way for you to introduce some like video into your site without it being a full length clickable film.
Yeah.
I've got at the very top of my website page, I've got a video which it's linked to YouTube. Full on.
Yeah, but then you've got the play button and it doesn't look as cool.
Yeah. Well, Vimeo's, I think, the best for that. I think that looks the best, the cleanest.
It does. And they allow you and show it. I know they allow you to actually change the control colors to match your brand palette and hide the controls, like the profile icon and the text. Like they allow you to hide that. You can turn on autoplay. There's so many cool ways to work around that. So that's another.
What's the, going back to the file sizes slowing down the loading speed of your website? Does more text, more pages influence all that as well?
It does. Yeah. So a lot of times I'll see people, like for the portfolio page, for example, they'll just add a bunch of images into the portfolio and there's no content at all. Well, Google can't read. Google can't see. Google doesn't have eyes.
Yeah.
They can only read content. So if you're just uploading a bunch of images, you haven't even tagged the images, your portfolio page essentially looks empty to Google. So I always say you need to have at least a few paragraphs on every single page, especially on your hotspots, which are your portfolio. Usually where people are going to go after your homepage is either straight to your portfolio or your about page. So if we know that those are our two hot spots and you want to make sure you're capitalizing on that by having adequate information for Google to index. So it's really important to make sure you're not ever having a blank page on your website that's just all images or all videos with no text at all.
Great tip, that 100%. It'd be like you said, there'd be so many people have just got loads of images on a page. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
I want to touch on, Adam, pricing. There's always a big debate.
We've
talked about this. You know, should you have pre-order prices on your website?
I say absolutely.
I say no.
Really? I think you should.
So what are your reasons? What are your reasons why you think that's important?
Well, there's this beautiful tool called Hotjar that allows us to watch people's activity on a website. And what Hotjar tells me and our clients' conversion rates is that people want pricing. They do not want to have to dig for pricing. They don't want to have to get on the phone to find out your pricing. They don't even want to have to email you to get your pricing. They just want it. They want it there. And I know for a lot of service providers who are more like quote based, that is not possible. And in that case, do a starting at, just give them a range, give them, you know, for wedding planners, I'll say something along the lines of our typical bride invest this dollar amount, just give them a ballpark so they know if it's even remotely doable. And that way it's not wasting your time and it's not wasting their time to go back and forth over email if it was never going to work to begin with.
Yeah, I think sometimes the price on your website can sift out the people that are just tie kickers on the ones that probably or potentially not afford your service, so they won't look down the line. You know, it's funny though. I've had some clients who maybe think they can't afford my service until I can get on a chat with them and start building that relationship, and then the money kind of goes out the window. And I think I might have missed, for me personally, I think I might have missed the opportunity if my pricing is on my website, because I've not had a connection with the couple. And my thing is a very connected service. It's not just turn up and sing. It's I really have to get, we have to get to know each other. And then, you know, I want to have the opportunity to talk to them and get them excited about what I do for them. And so in my world, that's my reasoning for not having it on the website. But yeah, there's pros and there's cons in both ways, I imagine. But
there are. And I think so that actually brings me back to the experience page that I mentioned earlier. So if you're positioning your services page as more of an explanation of what your experience is, then the pricing is understood. It's received far better, because it's not just like, all right, here's my package. You get 100 photos, you get an hour, and it's this much, take it or leave it.
For me though, it's hard to communicate what my service does on a website. That's why it's really important for me to get on a call and sit down and chat to my clients.
It's a good tip though, that Sarah's saying, if you are going to have your prices on your site, then as you're saying, make sure that you spell out that the whole experience of what it is that you do to back that up.
Yeah, because the thing is, if you're not giving people if you're not giving people context of what your experience looks like, then they're basically looking at your prices like they would a restaurant menu. They don't understand what they're getting. But you want them to look at your pricing on your website like a Taylor Swift concert. We want them to be like, oh, I'll take out 3 credit cards. I'll get a loan from my mom and dad. Like, whatever I got to do, I want this experience. I'm signing up for this. I'm going to find a way to make it work, because they are the perfect person for the job. So what you want to do is have the copywriting, have the beautiful imagery, have maybe even a video if you can do it, to really convey what your experience looks like and the way that you show up and serve your clients. Because if you compare that with pricing, then it's like, oh my gosh, they're worth every penny. I never even realized that this was all of the things that I was going to get within that service.
Mm. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, we're a big thing and people book people rather than book the service.
Right.
So it's really showcasing you in the best light on your website. I know I can showcase myself better when I'm in front of people, you know, when I can talk to them, but you need to really make sure that's on point on your website.
But we're in agreement about having a video, like if possible, have a video of yourself explaining what you do or behind the scene or something, just to get it across that bit more, as well as the text, as well as the imagery.
Brand videos are a great way to communicate that. And you know what, if that's not doable, get something like Video Ask, which allows you to record a video on your phone or your computer and upload it to your website. It's a little widget that will stick to the bottom of the page, and you can literally record a little greeting personal message from you and just say like, hey, thanks for being here. This is what I'm about. Or another approach to this, if you really do feel like super solid on like, I do not want to have that on my website, then I would just say, be prepared to immediately hop on a call or a Zoom with them. Or you can also, when they inquire, go ahead and send them a Loom video and just record a like, hey, thanks for inquiring. I'm so excited to like learn more about you two as a couple or what have you, like just a personal, like get face to face with them as soon as humanly possible.
I like that idea. That's great.
Yeah, we're in
agreement
there.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like in the stateside. I see it in groups, and I think it's the same. But like amongst people I know in the UK, it's just such a hot debate. Like everyone's really passionate about either on or off.
I know. I go by the statistics that I'm a numbers girl through and through, and I'm like, okay, we can have opinions all day long, but whose websites are booking more? That's what I look at. I'm like very data driven. So from the hundreds and hundreds of websites that we do per year over the course of 8 years, we're able to look at that and see the performance. And I believe the last ballpark figure I got was like 600 to 700% more conversions on people who did have that information readily available versus people who did not.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. That is a big increase. Yeah. All right. I wanted to ask about, so I've not updated my website since 2013, I think. Might have been 2014. No, it was 2013 because I remember I did it before the wedding industry was when I was in through to the final. I thought, I want to give myself the best chance. I'm going to do everything. New website. Da, da, da. Whether it helped me win or not, I don't know. But that's the last time I did it. I'm really busy and I kind of pick and choose what I want to do. So I'm quite thankful in that way. But for anybody else listening, when is a good time to update your website, or should you do it every couple of years, or can you give us a bit of insight on that, what your recommendations are?
It's going to be sooner than that, isn't it?
Every week. I know that sounds crazy. Let me give you context.
What?
I'm not talking the design. I'm talking the content. If you don't touch your website and nothing about your website changes for a few months, you're going to start going lower and lower.
This is from an SEO point of view.
Yes. And this is the whole thing. Like, if your website isn't working for you, it's pointless. Like, save your money, cancel your hosting subscription, and rely on social media like you already are. If that's what you're doing, if you want your website to work for you and bring you far more leads than social media ever could, then please, please update your website semi-frequently. And updating your website is as simple as creating a new blog post. And that can be batched. You know, I say, like, pick one day a month to write 2 to 4 blog posts. We have these incredible tools like AI, which use that cautiously, but you can use them to generate ideas that will help you have good topics to write about that would be useful for your audience. But ideally, if you can write at least 2 to 4 blog posts a month and post those bi-weekly, that is going to help you climb the charts on SEO rankings so quickly. Like, I don't think people realize how easy it is to improve your ranking just by blogging, even if you weren't using keywords. Like, if you are updating your website with content regularly, you're going to start outranking people with little to no effort.
Wow.
Yeah, I bet the vast majority of us don't check in regularly and update things. So it makes sense that you would quickly jump above them if you were doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a very easy task as well if you're in the position to pass off to a VA. Like, this isn't, if you don't have the time for it, hire it out at a very expensive rate. And, you know, for me, I'm always about, like, what's the return on investment, right? And so I see people, they start this blogging strategy and they will post 2 to 4 times a month. Well, we just had a client who launched, and in 3 months, she generated $32,000 worth of wedding bookings just by blogging. Like, nothing changed aside from, like, you know, we did her new website design, obviously, but, like, once her SEO was done and she started blogging, she immediately started climbing the charts for all of these different keywords that her ideal clients were searching for. So that is the power of blogging. And especially if you're blogging almost as in place of a portfolio, and you're, like, actually blogging your work along with that content, then you're killing 2 birds with 1 stone because you're updating your portfolio and creating new content all at the same time. So that's my favorite little hack for keeping things updated, is just do those 2 things in tandem. Let those 2 things become one and just straight up use your blog as your portfolio.
So you'd recommend having that in your scroll bar above at the top of your website, a section that says blog, and that's what you'd update regularly.
Yeah. And a lot of times too, like, people won't realize that you are using your blog as your portfolio. So I say just call your blog portfolio in the navigation, so there's no confusion, because they're going to go straight to your portfolio or your about page after they land on the homepage, like I was saying before. So you still want to make sure it's really clear navigation wise that that is where your portfolio is located, but it's going to drastically improve your ranking on Google, but also save you a lot of time where you're not having to blog and update your portfolio separately.
Got you. I don't have a blog on my website, and I was put off it a while ago, long time ago, because every time you update it, then that latest blog post is at the top, which I didn't want my portfolio to be my last wedding, because it's not necessarily my best or the one I want to show. Like, I don't necessarily want to showcase my latest work. I want to showcase my very best over the years that I've done it.
That's perfect sense.
So could you, the advice I got was have a blog, but just don't have it navigatable anywhere. Just, it's there, it's live, but nobody can click to it, sort of thing.
Hidden.
Yeah.
Like, it's not necessarily linked in the navigation, or if you know, there's some people that still want to have like educational resources or tips and tricks, so they'll have both in their navigation, and that's fine, but you can utilize your blog categories to control what is shown where and prioritize your feed.
Okay, cool.
So those are some kind of tricks to kind of get things to show in the order that you want. So a lot of times we'll do like a featured category at the top of the blog. Yeah. And that's where they're like, okay, these are where I want my 8 absolute top favorite galleries that I want shown. And then everything else comes below that.
Yeah. Do you know what? That makes so much sense and is obvious. And I can't believe it's funny, isn't it? I feel like I'm, after chatting to you, I feel like I neglect my website so much, and it is, it's your shop front.
It's I hear it all day, every day. And I do those free site evaluations, like you were mentioning before, 2 days a week, and they always fill up. So I'm on the phone all day, and 9 times out of 10, people are like, it seems just like what you said, it seems so obvious, but I just don't think to do it. And, you know, everybody is so, we're all busy, right? And especially as a small business owner, we wear all the hats. We are the CPA, we are the web designer, we are the photographer, we're the editor, we're everything. And so a lot of times I think your website gets pushed to the back burner. But I would just say, you know, if you're relying on social media for your inquiries, you're doing yourself a huge disservice, because your account could get deactivated tomorrow. It could get hacked tomorrow. What would you do? What would you do if that happened? You'd have nothing to fall back on if you didn't prioritize your website. And 99.9% of the time, your website can far outperform in bringing you quality inquiries over what social media can do. So I think people mistakenly do themselves a huge disservice by putting their website on the back burner.
Yeah. And everyone, like, we all know that we need one. Like, when you start a business, I need a website. And yet we probably neglect it more than anything and push it to the bottom of the pile. Interesting. Good stuff. So if someone was to like hire you to help them with the site, what's the process? What kind of things do you take them through in terms of like the styling choices, like fonts and color schemes and stuff? Do you help people with the branding and those kind of things?
Yeah, we do. So we're a full service design studio, but we have a very intimate approach to our client experience. That's a lot different than most design studios, where our clients get to play a role in the entire process from start to finish and help make all design choices. So it's very much a collaborative effort, versus with a lot of design studios, it's kind of like, okay, fill out a questionnaire. We're never going to hop on a call. We're never going to get to know you. Just fill out this questionnaire and we'll handle the rest. And then you're stuck with whatever you get and good luck. And that's it. And for us, it's literally the complete opposite. The first thing we do is hop on a phone call. And then after they book, we immediately have them fill out. We give them a ton of resources that have like workbooks, copywriting templates, brand strategy, like an entire like library of resources basically. And then we hop on a Zoom call, because the thing is, like, we can't possibly articulate a brand and a design if we have no idea who our client is. And your brand should be such a accurate reflection of who you are as a person, but also of your artistry. And so the best way that we can translate that into a design is by meeting face to face and just hearing their heart and their story and the way that they show up and serve their clients. Because if we can translate that into a design that's going to showcase who they are and their values and the way they serve, but also speak to their ideal client. That's where the magic happens. So throughout our entire design process, as we're creating concepts, whether it's the logo or the website page, they get to mark everything up in real time, let us know if they have ideas, if they want to change anything, if they saw something on Pinterest that they liked and they're like, hey, what would this look like for me? Can we do a different iteration of this? Like, we just, again, collaborate through every single piece. And then at the end, it's a team effort. Like, we created this together. It's not like, hey, I came to Elizabeth Designs and I word vomited on them and then they did everything and that was it. Like, they get to play a role in everything. So it becomes very personal. And I think that's what I love the most is, like, by the time we're done working with our clients, we're best friends.
It's nice.
And that's
completely the approach that us as suppliers should take with couples as well. Like, you know, that's what we advocate, is having that personal relationship with brides and groom. So it's the same thing, isn't it? I'm just wondering how, if you want to get your personality across on your website, if you want to get that your story across, you know, how does one do that? How does one know what color scheme is suits them and what fonts suit them? And
yeah, so with the colors, I would say it's like, it's a combination of like color theory and then personality. So like, obviously I'll use Rebecca as an example. Like, Rebecca is bubbly, she's fun, she's whimsical, she is like truly one of a kind, right? And so I sit down with her and I meet with her and I'm like getting to know her. And this was years and years ago. We worked with her a while ago. And we're still working with her now, actually, on a new website, funny enough.
Does she update her website once a week?
I think she blogs pretty regularly. I think she probably does. Yeah. but I'll just use her as an example. So, you know, we're getting to know her. You definitely want to, you know, think about like, what do you feel drawn towards? What feels like a good representation of you? I'll literally tell people, look around your house. What did you paint your walls? Like, what feels like you? And oftentimes you look at their work and those tones are similar. Are you warm? Are you neutral? Are you cool? Like, where do you land? But the biggest thing is, you know, we want to strike that balance of who are you, but also what's going to speak to your ideal client. So, you know, we want to make sure to find colors that are complementary, but color theory plays a huge role in that too, because different colors convey different emotions. So that's where we talk about their client experience. Is it full of joy? Are you bright and bubbly, or are you calm and relaxed? And are you going to bring peace to them? Maybe that's when we look at blues and grays. So, I have a blog post on my website about color theory that will kind of give you a gauge on that, but that's kind of, when it comes to colors, that's my approach.
Do you slant things more towards the bride as the target audience, the feminine slant as opposed to group? Because that's something that we was doing. It was advice I got from Howard, actually. You, as opposed to the groom, the bride is your target audience. So I've always tried to keep mine quite feminine.
Yeah, I definitely say, like, figure out who your ideal client is and speak directly to that person. Like, you are their best friend and you know everything about them. And if you can figure out what their pain points are and speak directly to that, you're going to earn their trust without ever even meeting them. If they feel like, oh my gosh, they get me, they know me, and I've never even talked to them, you can best believe they're going to be filling out your contact form, because 9 out of 10 other vendors, they're not doing that. And so it's actually really easy for you to stand out, because people are so focused on themselves versus focusing on their client and speaking to them at their level. So make it less about you and more about how you can show up for your client.
100%. That's really, really good advice, Sarah. That it's funny. I know I did, my website hasn't been changed for all them years, but my website before the one I had now was very much about me. Here I am, don't I look cool, singing. And it just changed to give more of a focus of the experience that I provide, what I want my couple to look at and go, that's what we want for my wedding, rather than it be about me and, you know, how cool I am and all that kind of stuff, which people get a bit egotistical when they design the website, rather than thinking who it's for, you know. So that's really, really good advice. 100%. Mega. We will include links, by the way, guys, anybody listening, watching. If you're watching YouTube, there'll be links down there to your stuff.
We'll link them to your site, because I, you know, hopefully you'll get, you know, you get some people wanting evaluations and stuff, which you offer. That's a free service that you do, right?
Yep.
So valuable.
You're going to get hundreds of people now on the emailing you.
I'll be honest, like,
I'm tempted to send you mine, but I'm also a bit scared.
don't be scared. I'm very nice. I don't bite, I promise.
I can it's tell. A phone call, it's, though. It's more like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed now knowing what I should be doing.
I always tell people, like, everyone will always come on the call and they're like so embarrassed and they feel so bad. And 9 times out of 10, I'm like, your website is so much better than most of the other websites that I look at. It's never as bad as you think it's going to be.
Except for the ones that haven't been updated since 2014.
Yeah.
I think everything you're saying, I think it's great advice for people who are just starting the wedding industry as well, to kind of start, have that really good kickstart, hit the ground running sort of thing with some really, really good advice on the website. Because when people first start, they haven't got budgets and they do things cheaply and they're not sure what to do. I mean, this is great advice for them, you know, 100%.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Not everyone is in a place where they can just jump right into a professional service or like invest in professional design. And that's where like the beauty of templates come in, and Showit has tons of, I mean, you can get a website template anywhere. But what's really, really great about Showit templates is how customizable they are. So if someone needs a starting point that's free, I believe they have like 50 or more free templates on Showit that you can completely customize to your own brand.
Bob, are you the CEO of Showit?
I'm not. And I don't get paid for promoting them. So this is just
promo.
I think you should. Yeah, no, but it's great to have that recommendation, to be honest. Because everybody would probably just go either Squarespace or Wix or some other platform and end up. But yeah, this is a great alternative to that. I'm looking forward to getting off the call so I can go and check them out, actually.
Yeah, you should.
One question I wanted to add was, if somebody wanted to change their brand, you know, completely overhaul, new website, new design, etc., how painful of a process is that? Does it mess them up from Google? And is it worth it down the line and all that sort of stuff?
Mm-hmm. So visually, if you're just updating your branding visually, like your colors and logos and things, that will not make a difference. That's not going to hurt you on Google at all.
No,
because again, Google doesn't have eyes. So they're just looking at keywords. So like when you add your logo, make sure you're putting a keyword on it. But outside of that, you're not going to see a difference there. However, you are going to see difference in your clients, because they're going to remember who you are because you actually had a face for your brand. And that's the thing. A lot of times people are like, logos are overrated. I'll just use this like nice serif font that came with my template, or that was like part of the website design. And they don't have any recognizable facet to their brand. And so they're like, I'm getting ghosted. And I'm like, that's because people don't remember you, because you weren't talking to them and you didn't have a brand identity to showcase who you were. So you're not giving them a reason to remember you outside of your work, which I'm sure is incredible, but that's not enough, because there's so many incredible other people out there. So I think you should definitely not waste any time when it comes to creating your brand, because the sooner you can build a recognizable identity for your brand, the sooner you're going to have a reputation and you're going to start standing out to people. And they're going to be like, oh my God, this is amazing. I love this. Like, this is exactly what I was looking for, because you're speaking directly to them and they're vibing with what they're seeing.
The reason I asked that is that there's a friend of ours, Howard Tom, who used to be, he was a videographer and he used to have a generic videography name. And he changed it to his personal name, So he changed his name of his company and of his rebranded everything. And then I remember him saying that it really like sent him down Google, and it was a nightmare to kind of climb back up.
Changing your name is definitely, so that is a whole nother can of worms. Yeah. And if you are changing your business name, if you have any footing on Google, you should absolutely get an SEO professional to help you plan for that, because you will absolutely see a dip no matter what happens. Because you're starting from ground zero. But we've seen lots and lots of people change names, and within about 3 months' time, their rank bounces right back up and then exceeds where they were at before. So it's absolutely doable. You just have to know there's going to be
a long game, isn't it?
It is. It's a long game. But I mean, 3 months is not 90 days. Not bad. Not terrible.
Do you recommend changing branding every now and again? Keep your name, everything, but change your branding so it's got a whole fresh look. It's a bit like when you've got a restaurant down the road and when they first come out, it's all fresh and it's new and it's great. And then a few years later, it's like, this place needs a bit of a freshen. They change the decor and they change stuff, and all of a sudden it's trendy again. It's people want to go there again. And is that a good thing to do? Change your actual branding every now and again?
It is when it makes sense. I always say, like, our best pillars of like brand examples are Chanel, Vogue. You know, you think Vogue in the wedding industry, you say Vogue, and it's like everyone's like, oh, I'm listening, it's Vogue. You know, did Vogue ever change their branding? Absolutely not. It's timeless. It's an icon. They should never change it, and they never will, because it's Vogue. That's what you want to do with your brand. Like, obviously, you might need to tweak some things, but I always say avoid the trends and go timeless. You do not want to update your branding very often. You want to do it as less often as possible. Now, I'll use Rebecca as an example. She had her branding, I think, for a little over almost four years. But as she evolved in her business and grew, she wanted to take things more timeless and modern and less boho and whimsy, which is why we're shifting her brand, but we're doing it in a strategic way. We're not completely changing her brand identity. We're just putting a spin on it that's going to help her lean into her, you know, growth area. So you want to definitely have a brand that's very timeless, so that you're not having to worry about, oh crap, I went with a trendy brand and now I got a rebrand 2 years later.
Yeah, because things change, people evolve, right. Your business changes, you change as a person, you want to reflect different things. So I guess going timeless, like you say, is probably the safest way to do it, because then,
save you a ton of money.
You can still freshen things up though, can't you? You can still change colors but keep that original core branding the same, but you can change things around it.
Yeah, I like that point. I did that myself.
Have a strong icon. Just like you said, how colors come and go. But if you have an icon, you can fall back on that always. So, and you can even change your website design. That's the thing. You can literally have the same brand, but change and update your website design to keep it fresh and to keep it, you know, can be a little bit more trendy.
When you say icon, what do you mean by that? Like a logo?
Yeah, like your brand icon itself. So a lot of times people won't realize, like, your business name written out should not necessarily be the icon for your brand. An icon should be like a monogram or some sort of symbol. So we think of, like, this is a terrible, I'll use a more high class. I was about to say McDonald's, but I'm not going to use that.
Yeah,
like, Chanel, you know, the double C, like that is Chanel. So that's what you want your icon to be, is something that's like going to stand out and be recognizable.
Got you. Yeah. I've always researched, and it was Chanel, it was Vogue, it was, although Gucci, all those types of brands. And just basically, what are they using in their typography and their fonts and the colors, and try to emulate those as opposed to I don't know, McDonald's, Coca-Cola.
Better than McDonald's. That was going to be my example at first.
There are other trash brands available.
Think of the Golden M.
Yeah, but I mean, it is iconic. There's no denying it.
Yeah. Those golden arches.
Iconically crap.
Everyone knows the Golden Arches.
They do.
Right, come on, let's wrap up. Let's wrap up.
Summarize with
You know, maybe like the number one thing that someone listening to this should go away, load up the website. Let's say it's an existing site. What's one thing they should make sure they've got, or if not got, they need to change that immediately.
Can I do three?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So the who, what, where is number one. Right out of the gate, go make sure you have your who, what, where. Number two, make sure all of your images are web size immediately. And then number three, go make sure you have content on your portfolio page, pretty please.
Yeah, so that's the text. So if it's just images, it's essentially blank. Get the text in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Perfect.
Ace, thank you so much. So we always ask, we've got a tradition of our couple of last closing questions, which is slightly different because we normally say what's the most like hilarious story you've got from a wedding, because we're normally interviewing wedding suppliers, right? So I don't know, maybe if you can share, maybe what's like the most horror website thing that you've seen that's
Or what have you been asked by somebody who wants a new website designing? What the most ridiculous question you've been asked? Something like that.
Okay, I've got a story for you. This is be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. I wasn't sure how we'd get this question answered, but this is.
Oh, you're gonna get an answer. I've got some tales to tell. So I had a client. This was years ago, and bless their soul, they were older and they decided that they did not like the designs that we presented them, and they decided to design their website in PowerPoint, and they sent us a PDF of their PowerPoint slides of their website design that they came up with, and they said, this is what we want, do this, that's it. And so that's what they got.
PowerPoint.
It was
website,
tragic.
Yeah.
It was hot pink and turquoise and the worst font combinations, the worst design you could ever see. And I was just, my team was like, what do we do? I was like, don't put our name on it. Whatever you do, don't put our name on it.
That ain't going on the blog.
Huh?
That's not going on the blog.
Oh no.
I wonder if it's still live. Can we go see it?
I'll tell you privately where it can be found.
Excellent.
Okay, so just to finish on then, Rebecca, the last guest, which happens to be Rebecca, has asked. This is good because it's not wedding day specific. So based on your experience now, what would you go back and tell yourself not to do when you started out? So if you could make that something in terms of website design.
Don't take old clients who want a PowerPoint website.
Yeah. Don't be too nice. I would say, oh gosh, I would say don't let people take advantage of you. I think that's it's hard. And I'm not saying this to like toot my own heart. It's when you're a good person and you really care deeply about your clients, I think sometimes you will bend over backwards for them and you get taken advantage of. And so I'm a big people pleaser. And I'm just like, I want people to be happy. I want them to have the best experience in the world. But some people, no matter what you do, it's not going to be good enough. And you have to learn when to say no and when to protect yourself and when to enforce your contract. So I would say like stick up for yourself and learn when to say no.
I could take that advice. It's soul destroying when someone says like I'm the same on people pleaser. So if there's any little tiny thing that someone's not happy with, I'm like, oh. I hate it, but yeah, it's great advice. It's just hard to actually put into practice.
It is. That's why I hired an admin. I was like, here, you can be the bad guy.
Yeah. I think I remember telling you this, Adam, when you first started out. I said, be careful, people want to take advantage of you because you've got a skill there. They're going to want you to work for nothing. be there at their beck and call, but they say they're going to do it to help you get ahead in the industry, and so don't let people take advantage of you.
At the very least, you could be like, well, I'm going to hand you over to my admin, and then you just come back on the phone 2 seconds later with a different voice.
I am absolutely guilty of my admin signing my name on emails. I proofed it before it went out, but I didn't write it because I was like, I'm too emotionally involved. And then too, like, this is a whole nother can of worms, but just to throw it out there, like, exposure doesn't pay the bills. Don't ever work for free. Never work for free, ever. So
amazing.
Don't go very far, do they?
Nope.
Okay. Have you got a question that you could leave us for our next guest? Bearing in mind, they probably will be a wedding supplier. They will be a wedding supplier. But if you can relate it to branding or websites, that would be great, maybe.
Oh, okay. I have to think of a new question. I was going to say, let's ask them, like, what's their favorite thing about what they do? But if we're relating it to brand and website, I would say, like,
I'll just ask them both. I like that.
So for the brand and website, maybe let's say, like, what was your biggest goal when you created your brand?
Yeah. And did you actually stick to it?
And did you do it? Yeah. Did you accomplish it?
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much. That was great.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry for the break-in in the middle.
I'll put that little snippet in so it's out of context. It sounds like you've actually had a break-in.
Yeah. They were literally, I'm not sure if you could hear, they were like pounding on the door, and I had the little security notch on so they couldn't get it open, and they were like, boom, boom. Like, oh my God.
Sarah, honestly, I got so much out of our chat, and I think our viewers and listeners are going to get the same. It was so good. Thank you very much indeed for coming out.
You've got so much knowledge, and I'm a bit nervous, but I'm going to go straight after this and look at my website and see what I need to
do. Well, if anybody wants to get their website evaluated, we'll put the details down so you can go and...
All your info so people can check you out. We'll tag you on Insta and stuff. And yeah, thank you so much for coming out.
Yes, thank you guys.
Cool.
So thanks so much for listening. We really hope that you found this episode insightful, inspirational. And if you did enjoy that, then please consider subscribing to us wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify. We're a Think Wedding Business.
We're also on YouTube and Instagram. So if you want to watch us, you can go over to YouTube and find us at Think Wedding Business. And the same over on Instagram to keep up with all of our future episodes.
We'd really love you to subscribe and join us on this journey. And if you do like this content, please consider giving us a 5-star review. It just helps us get seen and helps spread the word.
So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.